join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast today is...
He doesn't look at his phone. This is the third? Yes.
Yeah.
This is really interesting.
It's Libra season, son.
Oh, yeah, your birthday is this weekend.
No, Monday.
Okay, Monday.
It's Monday.
Happy almost birthday.
Son. Happy almost birthday.
Oh, so right. So this is a perfect time for me to tell everybody. So you guys should know that neither Sean nor I actually know how old Jeff is.
I told you I'm 63 years old.
I believe you, though. That's the thing. So we're going to play a little game called Guess How Old Jeff Is.
I ain't even a day over 62.
But the thing is that he's not going to tell us if we're right or wrong.
I'm not going to take shit.
But y'all should tweet us and tell us how
Look
old
up my
Jeffrey
records,
is.
If you want to know.
Jeff be talking about how he was working for fucking Shirley Robinson in the Sugar Hill
exactly.
Gang.
Exactly. But on the other side, I'm 19 because I'm out here in these streets.
You are out in these streets still.
I'm still popping. Matter of fact, I'm a Breaking news, my niggas. I'm gonna do me a little birthday bash.
You are gonna do a birthday bash. I'm not gonna be here. I'm really
You'll be here.
No, I'm not gonna be in London.
You'll be here.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing it next weekend.
Okay, okay.
So I'm doing it the weekend after my birthday, but
okay.
It don't matter. I was like, why? I was like, it don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's still my birthday month and whatever.
Do you?
So I'm going to do it uptown at a location to be...
announced.
I don't know much I'm announcing. I'm going to do, but you know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be it's my man's spot. It's not that big.
Okay.
So I don't want to go bonkers.
Right.
But, you know, I want it packed out, though. We're going to be in there sweating. I told him...
You're going to do a real uptown style?
Totally. I want... almost all R&B.
Okay.
I let him play a tad of rap, but for my joint, I want almost all R&B. And obviously
really?
All the... Yeah, yeah.
Now, you are usually very anti-nostalgia.
No, I told you
classics.
About the... What's it called?
The R&B
party.
Only in Atlanta. Okay.
See, this is the thing. Because I got a little marketing thing with me, too, now. Besides A&R.
Oh, boy.
Girls
we
love...
We have a guest in the room. This is why you're talking like this.
Girls love R&B.
Yes.
It's a guarantee.
Yes.
Some girls like rap, some girls don't, some girls will dance to rap, some girls kind of won't.
You just want
to
make sure the party's...
All girls love R&B.
Yes.
Which means dudes will be happy because the girls are dancing and want to dance.
Right.
So I let you play a little bit of rap, like, but it's got to be just a few records. And it's, I mean, I'll let you play a little Biggie or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But like,
right.
But for the most part, I want R&B and then I want a little house set.
Right.
And I want the kind of, you know, uptown classics, you know.
So there's going to be like
Fool's Paradise.
So there's going to be like a bunch of women dancing like Mary.
Yes, that's what I want.
That's the part.
Because if you got a bunch of girls just like Mary, dudes is like, yo, that's your partner. You know, the dudes, I ain't worried about y'all. Y'all going to be good.
Right.
If I get the girls dancing like Mary and y'all sweating your hair out, the party was lit.
There we go.
So that's the plan. So I'm putting together the little flyer now and all that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. And I thought about, and I might do this. I'm giving it away, but I mean, I don't know if people's hearing it. I'm thinking about having two cakes.
Okay.
One cake that say, happy 75th birthday. And one cake that say, happy 19th birthday.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm both.
You are both.
Yeah, I'm an old black man, and I'm a young black teenager.
Yes.
Mixed in one.
Very true. Very true.
You know, I had this down in Charlotte. Anyway, we have a guest in the room.
Yeah.
Wait, y'all grew up together?
We kind of did, but we weren't really friends in high school. We became really
senior
good friends.
Year.
Yeah, like senior year. We are from the same. We're both from Greenville.
So you're from South Carolina.
Yeah, yes. We're both from Greenville.
Now live in Charlotte.
Yes.
The banking capital of America.
We ran in the same social circle in high school, and then in college we became like part of the same crew. Like we actually became friends.
You're Delta too?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Okay. Wait. Say your name.
My name is Tasha Jones.
Tasha Jones.
Yes.
This sounds like a black movie name. Like a Tyler Perry
movie.
But
yo, have you noticed all the shows, like, the main character is Tasha, like, from the game.
Thing.
Like, it's always Tasha. I hate
it. It's like
thing.
A traditional black girl name.
Yeah.
I think they just think it's a real, like,
Tasha
black
Keisha.
Girl, yeah. Fiery black
yeah.
girl name.
Yeah. Tasha Keisha is definitely, like, a big thing. Well, welcome, Tasha.
Thank you.
And, well, you know, we'll pull you in when, you know.
I think Todd will loosen up. I also told her, the only two people that we know, that I know of, that listen to the show from home, there's only like two people from home that listen to the show. So she's free to watch.
So you could cut up.
Yeah.
Okay, cut up. But again, you know, you got some type of corporate job. We don't want you to, you know. Something to get out.
Yeah, we don't mess with people's paper here. That's not
so going cool. So go on, just be a little careful. It's okay. Wait, I had a couple shout outs. Do you have any, by the way?
I feel like I should.
I had a good one.
And yet I don't.
Oh, I just wanted to say peace to my man who got a year for the Pac-Man Jones fight in the airport. Did you know about this?
No.
So Pac-Man Jones is a football player from Atlanta originally. He's played with several teams. He's playing with I forget. He's still in the league, though. He's playing with somebody. Mm-hmm. And he was walking through Hartsfield Airport a few months ago. And it's somebody filmed it, by the way. Some dude and him started beefing. To me, it looked like it was some neighborhood beef.
Okay.
Because it wasn't even no
beef. Because they look familiar to each other.
Wild familiar. And yeah. They started scrapping. In the airport.
Pac-Man, which is like some federal shit, right?
Yeah, Pac-Man caught him with the right hand, right. Dropped him. They arrested the guy.
Wasn't the guy an airport worker, though?
He worked at the airport. Yeah, it was wild. Okay. And he just got a year.
Wow.
In jail. That's whack.
That's crazy.
So it means, you know, definitely lost the job.
Oh, absolutely. He probably lost the job rather than it happened.
And, you know, job in Atlanta airport, you know, you could rock that for 20 years if you do it right. So you done messed that up, and then you got to do a year in the Bing. So peace to that fool.
I want to say peace to Emmanuel Sanders, because I did not pay him any attention.
Oh, yeah, you on him.
I tweeted one thing and it went viral. It's not so much that I'm on him.
You on him.
But everybody on him.
The Tiff comment?
I can't remember a Tiffany comment. She might have retweeted the comment. But Bossa picked it up.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Bossa picked it up. So, was a clip of Emmanuel Sanders wishing, I guess, Peyton's retiring?
No, Peyton Manning is already retired.
What was he saying? He was like, was it Peyton he was talking to? Whoever he was talking to, he was saying, thank you, you're going out on top.
I don't know who it was.
He was talking to somebody.
Anyway, yeah, you was just staring at the man.
I was just staring at him. I don't really know what he was talking about or who he was talking about it to, but... The NFL originally posted the clip. I retweeted the clip.
And it went crazy.
Because he's fine.
Okay. I mean...
He's fine. And I mean, I know...
I ain't no hater.
He's married to a Latina. And he's messy. Yeah, he's messy. That's his second wife. He left his first wife when she was pregnant.
Popping.
And blah, blah. But all of that, he looks like that dude.
He is. Yeah, yeah. He's probably been that dude his whole life.
But anyway, peace to you, Emmanuel. Shout out to Emmanuel, because you fine.
And I want to say peace to Nivea.
Being
Nivea. Yeah, no, a lot of people watch it. I might have been trending for a minute. A lot of people watched it.
It was on BET Online. Right?
It was BET Online, but people really watched it. I got a soft spot for her because I signed her back at Jive. And I knew her story, but I'm happy to see that she's, you know, back out here, you know, trying to make a way. She put out some new music and she's on Lil Wayne's album. And, you know, I'm just happy for her because it was really, like, talent wasted. You know what I'm saying? She was, like...
But was that about Dream going off and doing his own thing, or...?
It was really about Wayne.
Okay.
Like, once she got with Wayne... I mean, they were both super young. And it was on that super kind of puppy lovish thing. Wayne, you know... Sorry, bro, if you even hear this. No disrespect. But he was very controlling as well. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of took her off track.
Got it.
Matter of fact, okay, I'll tell a story about
it. Wayne came after Terrius, right?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Wait. No.
When was she married to Dream? Because was she married to Dream before? She was married to Dream after Wayne.
I think she married Dream after Wayne.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was after. But don't quote me on that. Okay. But
it was all so long ago.
Remember the story I told on the show a while ago about when I saw B.B. King and Aretha Franklin in the front row? So what happened was... Me and my man Jimmy Manus, me and Jimmy were working on a project together.
Okay.
So Nivea had a show in somewhere like the Midwest, I think like St. Louis or something. She actually nominated for a Grammy that year for Don't Mess With My Man.
Okay.
So she had the show. So me and Jimmy was like, okay, we're gonna go to the airport and pick her up, bring her to the hotel. We're gonna try to catch the carpet and all that. And you know, it's gonna be tight, but we're gonna try to catch it, and then we'll go to the show with her. And then
so you were acting as her handlers and everything.
Yeah, cause she didn't even have a manager at that point. So, you know, we at LaGuardia, she gets off, we scheduling on get on the plane. She got off the plane, we was like, oh, picked her up. We had the stretch limo, because that was the stretch limo era.
Right.
So, stretch limos are so trash. They're terrible. They're not comfortable.
There's no plane to mess all whatsoever.
You can't park nowhere.
They're not flat.
You slide in the rest. They're garbage. They're garbage. Anyway, so we go to the city. Me and Jimmy's already dressed. We like, yo, okay, we're gonna drop you off. We dropped off at some hotel on 57th Street, maybe whatever's over there. You know, we're gonna drop you off, go upstairs, get dressed, and we're gonna come down and we're gonna go to the Grammys. The Grammys at the Garden. It's not that far. So we're gonna go to the So me and Jimmy sitting in the car, calling. She's not picking up.
Mm.
Calling, not picking up. Obviously, time's ticking by, and be like, yo, come on. And so Jimmy, we like back to back, and you know what I'm saying? It was no real texting back then either.
Right.
So Jimmy calls one time, and finally the phone picks up, and Wayne says, she ain't coming.
Oh, wow.
So when she went upstairs, Wayne was in the room waiting for her. We didn't know that.
Wow.
We didn't know that. So she didn't go to the Grammys.
And she was nominated.
She was nominated.
That's wow.
Didn't go to the Grammys, didn't go to the after party with Sony party. They stayed in the room. That's how me and Jimmy got those tickets to walk across. We took the tickets. We was like, all right. And me and Jimmy got
some on-camera seats.
Chilling. Me and Jimmy got in so much trouble.
Because you were on camera.
Because they was like, all the powers that be didn't have seats that good. Because the seats were supposed to be for Nivea and like a guest.
Right.
And me and Jimmy were going to take seats like and go up.
Yeah.
But we took the seats and we sitting like mad close. Like everybody's around.
You're sitting in a nominee seat.
We walked right across the front row. And everybody from the company saw us when we walked in. And they was vexed.
I'm sure.
Oh, my God. But we didn't give a shit. We had a good time. So, peace to Nivea and Wayne for those tickets. But, yeah, so Wayne kind of took her off track. And then, I mean, Nivea had a very, people don't really understand this. Nivea had a horrific upbringing.
Okay.
Like, terrible. Like, her parents were drug addicted and, like, homeless. Like, it was bad. It was really bad. Like she was the oldest, so I think of three or four. She basically was like her sister and brother's like mom, and she was a kid. It was a terrible upbringing. So she was kind of primed to get
caught
up because of her upbringing. You know what I'm saying? So I say all that to say I'm just happy to see her back doing what she loves
and
to do.
And she's still relatively young.
Yeah, she's like her and Wayne are probably the same age. She's probably 35.
Yeah.
34, still 35.
Still relatively young.
Yeah, you know.
She can make
it. And I know watching so many of these other girls in her zone, like, you know, like the Brandys and the Monicas, and then it's like, go on. And she must have been like, look, man, Beyonce. Right. She was like, damn, I was as big as they were at one point. And now, like, she got off track. So I'm glad she's back doing what she's doing. So I just wanted to say peace to Nivea.
Oh, I have one very important shout out. Shout out to Quincy Delight Jones.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
For two reasons. One, because of the Quincy doc.
Yep.
Which, if you guys haven't seen it, you really need to see it. Oh, and also, but this is a side note, have you seen this Three Perfect Strangers?
No, what's that?
Documentary?
What's that?
It's a
documentary. Oh, I heard about the three guys who found out they're triplets.
About the identical triplets who were separated.
I heard it's amazing.
It's incredible. Like, you can't write fiction like this. Because you think you're about to watch a feel-good movie, and it's really not.
Okay.
It's mind-blowing. So, I think it's on all streaming services.
It's definitely on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. I watched it on the plane last week. It's phenomenal. But anyway, shout out to Quincy. Last week was the taping. Quincy's 85th birthday was this year. Way back in
March. How's he looking?
I mean, honestly, he still looks good. He's moving.
He's still moving around?
He's moving slowly, but
well,
he can move on
he's
his
85,
own.
You know?
Yeah, but he can move on his own volition. He's in a wheelchair more often than not, just because.
You know, shit, he's 85.
but he's 85.
Yeah.
You know, he look healthy. He doesn't look skinny or anything.
Yeah, all right.
He could. And so, his birthday was in March. There is a TV special that's going to air BT, I think, next month.
Okay.
So, the taping was last Tuesday.
Okay.
And I went because Cynthia Rio, who's my artist, did who won the Tony for The Color Purple, did Miss Ely's Blues.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, like, I heard Patty Austin say in the hallway, everybody who can sing is here. Neo, Usher, J-Hud, Ledisi, Gregory Porter, John. They love calling Ledisi for this.
They love calling Ledisi. They got Ledisi on speed dial.
Fantasia did Sarah Vaughan's rendition of Misty, which I never would have thought would work for Fanny.
As long as she keep it here.
No, and she did. She kept
good.
It. And I mean, it was light too.
Good.
She gave it a
as long as she keep it here.
It was
because Fanny tend to wild out, but if she keep it here,
she did.
No, because she can really right really get down.
Right.
But she just tends to start that yelling and the churching.
She kept it
here.
It, like you could tell there was so much control, but also like it was really light.
Good.
It was beautiful. Patty Austin obviously was there, who still sounds amazing.
Yeah.
James Ingram apparently is not well, so he was not there. But even like some of his old jazz cats, like Herbie Hancock was there.
Yeah, well, him and Herbie are very close.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, it was a great room of people to honor him, but the show had been canceled because it was originally supposed to be a CBS special. So it had been canceled.
Mm.
And then it was back on with like 2 weeks to go. So a lot of people who I think were originally
probably
supposed to
make
be there,
it the second
then
time.
Couldn't make it. So the audience was whack. It was just like mad seat fillers, which fucked up the energy a little bit.
Because
at each break, all the seat fillers were like running to the celebrities like...
Yeah, selfies.
Yeah, so a lot of the celebrities were like, yo, I'm not going to sit. I'm going to go
Yeah, because I'm being bothered.
Because I'm being bombarded. Like,
yeah.
John was on front row and he stayed for like one break and he was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
But... the performances were phenomenal. It's going to look great on TV. And Quincy did an after party, a jam session.
How was that?
That was dope. It was a dope room to be in. And, you know, it was a little bit of everything because half of the people there, which was annoying me, were like Hollywood hipsters, you know, young white people trying to be cool. But there was also like Robert Glasper was there. Like
of
I
course.
Had a whole conversation with him about Lauren.
Of course.
Like Kamasi Washington got on. Usher was like one of the main people. Dave Chappelle was hosting like
okay.
the whole thing. And when I left at 2:30 in the morning LA time. Oh, and then after they finished the live jam session, D Nice was spinning.
Okay.
When I left, Quincy and Stevie were like two of the last people in there.
Of course.
Like, Quincy don't get up to like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but
yeah, Derek's my brother, but I'm actually surprised that Cassie didn't do it because no, Cassie and Quincy,
Cassie was there,
yeah, because they
was
have a
there, but
relationship,
he didn't spend, yeah, but
yeah.
Cassie moved out there actually,
yeah, he moved out, yeah.
So Cassie was there, because of course, like you said, him and Quincy have such a good relationship, but Derek was spending, and Derek. For like the first 30 minutes of his set, just went back and forth between Stevie cuts and Quincy produced cuts.
That's hot.
I was in heaven.
That's hot.
And I had been in 6-inch platforms all day. So I had on heels when we first got there.
And you took them off?
I had hotel slippers.
You did a Fantasia.
I had hotel slippers in my bag.
Right.
But I didn't go barefoot. I had hotel slippers on in the car. I pulled them hotel slippers out.
As
I had on hotel slippers at the spot.
It's okay.
It was the best shit I ever did. Cassidy said it was spot chic. So Cassidy is this white DJ, but he's like
he does all the
super
he's been
soulful.
Doing, he does only black parties.
Yeah, super soulful
for his whole career.
And like has all respect of like that whole entire like that Quincy Jones era is his pocket. Like he loved that whole thing.
Michael,
but he's also
Quincy,
like in
Earth
fashion
the fire.
Mix and all that other stuff. So Cassidy told me it was spot chic.
That's not cheap. One last thing, I wanted to mention because we didn't talk about Napoli Ever After. Did you watch this?
I did not watch it.
Did you watch it?
I watched it. What did you think? Did you read it back in the day?
Yeah, back in the day.
I never read it,
but I should have read it again before I watched it.
I heard it really wasn't true to book.
That's why I think I felt like it was some missing things and. People try to text me and call me out because I talk about going in the rain with my hair because
mm-hmm.
I'm natural and I mean it didn't make me feel any kind of way.
right.
Okay. I didn't read the book. I didn't even know
it
was a book.
I heard it was bad.
But no, I don't think it was bad.
It
wasn't bad. No, it's not bad. It's not bad. Don't let people tell you that. Sinai
was deep. Maybe
Sinai,
I should say that.
You know what it was? To me, it was a. Netflix's, I said this on the text, so Netflix's kind of foyer, I don't know what's the right word, into like the Tyler Perry world. It was basically like a Tyler Perry.
A little more highbrow?
A little more highbrow. It was a Tyler Perry movie.
Okay.
But maybe a little more, maybe it was between Tyler and Will Packer.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's what it is. It's
okay.
Like, this is some message, some deep, but it's some stuff that's kind of like light and good.
And stereotypical.
Yeah, but it was, I think it was them saying, okay, we got a lot of other things on Smash, and we've done black things like, you know, Dear White People and right. the Dave Chappelle specials and Chris Rock, but we haven't done really kind of done that Will Packer Tyler right. thing, because obviously those movies make a lot of money right. at the box office. And again, I'm talking shit because I don't know, but I'm assuming that, like, we have this massive black audience that watches Netflix all the time. Let's kind of see if we can cut into that. Like, they're cutting into other things. Well,
they have a concentrated black effort, black talent effort right now. It's called, what's it called? Strong Black Lead.
Okay, yeah, because I mean, they're bringing Ava was there. What's his name? Jesus Christ, from Blackish. What's his name?
I don't know. Kenya
Barris.
This is what we do.
And Shonda Rhimes. And so, like, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, so they're tapping into that right. world.
Well, it's definitely like a concentrated. I don't want to call it a campaign, because it's more than a campaign.
But it's an effort.
But you could actually even like, did you see the picture they did that was the remake of A Great Day in Harlem? It was like of all their black talent plus their black directors.
Oh yes,
the introduction of the campaign, right?
Yeah.
So they definitely are making an effort towards.
Yeah, and it's black like there's like a lot of black documentaries on right. on Netflix. Like they definitely.
The Q Joint is Netflix.
You got Q Joint. I mean, I love the fact that they are definitely like not taking the black people for granted, but they're actually giving black people right. specific things to watch. And like I said, and I think this movie was one of many that are going to come that are going to be in like kind of that, like I said, you know, Will Packer, Tyler right. Perry, family, female oriented films. Right. And so for that, it was 5 years ago, that movie would have been in the theater.
True.
3 years ago, that movie would have been in the theater. 2 years ago.
I don't know about 2 years ago, but. 5 years ago, for sure.
It would have absolutely been a theater thing, and, you know, would have been one of the movies that people would, like, after the weekend, you know, Hollywood Reporter, somebody would have been like, holy shit.
Right.
Now they have to made, what came in number two, like, what the hell?
Or it would have been an HBO special. Like, when they, like, how Disappearing Acts was an HBO special.
Yeah, but see, HBO never got it right because all their shit was too heavy.
And Disappearing Acts was also Sanaa.
But I'm saying, but, like, this was, you know, it had some stuff, but it was... It was a nice, like, Saturday night watch. Well, it was light. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't heavy. It wasn't heavy and deep. It was like Love and Basketball, The Best Man.
Okay.
We had some shit, but, you know, it's like, oh, that was kind of cool. At the end, it was a nice, happy ending. It's like, oh, you know what I'm saying? So, to me, that's how I took it, is they're walking into that path, and I think they're going to make a big dent because they have the bread. So they can go out here and get some, just like Tyler. And they're literally doing what he did. Okay, with Stars is hot. I'm like, okay, let's go get, Gabby Union next, and we're gonna do one of these on her, and we're gonna do one of these on, you know, Lance Gross or whoever. Right. That's what I think they're trying to do. So, but you should. All that being said, I enjoyed it. I think people pretty much enjoyed it. I think it's worth
a set. Enjoy it. What? But you know, my crowd is...
Yeah, y'all niggas.
Persnickety.
Yeah, very persnickety. But Saturday night, you ain't doing shit. I'll watch it.
But I will say this. The thing about remaking Napoli, or even with She's Gotta Have It, right? One of the conversations I saw is that Napoli came out in the 90s. It was a very different era of black storytelling.
Yeah, because women weren't doing natural hair stuff 20 years ago.
Also, but it was also like the Waiting to Exhale, the beginning of like this black sister girl self-empowerment. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the beginning of that era. And there were a bunch of these types of books, right? It was the beginning of that kind of, that subgenre of black literature as well. But one of the complaints I saw was that people are tired. And I mean, I don't know, Tasha, you're a natural, but you didn't do the big chop. You grew out. Mm. But what I did see was that a lot of people are tired of the trope of, like, black woman cuts her hair and all of a sudden, like, her whole life changes.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden she goes natural and her life gets better and she gets a new man and she gets a this and that and other thing. And they were just like, it's a trope.
Well, you know? Again, I didn't read the book.
Right.
But this... It wasn't really like when she cut her hair, shit got better. It actually didn't. Mm. It was, you know, her mom had hair issues, and then, you know, obviously the job. It didn't get better, actually. Mm. Even her love life was a little you know, what kind of wild with, you know, her fiance and then the new guy and then even
wasn't
that.
Wasn't there also something where, like, the new guy was a blue-collar guy or something
The new guy was a beauty salon owner. In the movie. In the movie. Okay. I don't know about the book. In the movie, he owned a salon. Mm-hmm. But there was definitely a thing. But the thing wasn't necessarily with her. It was with her mom.
Okay.
When she brought him home to the house, the mom was like, oh, you own a salon? Like, you know, mom was looking down on him, so.
What'd you think, Tart?
I think, now, my issue was with her fiancé.
The doctor.
The doctor broke up with her kind of because she was too perfect. Okay. Too put together, can't even have sex in the shower type of thing.
Right.
But then she cuts off her hair, and then when they do a full circle and he comes back, he's like, she's wearing a natural short little fro. He's asking her, can you straighten your hair out though? Like, really, are you going to
for the
hair
for
like
the
that?
Engagement?
For, yeah, for party. The yeah. He still wanted her to present a certain way for his mom, which I thought was very contradictory. Like, you know, he's the one that made her start looking at herself like, am I too perfect?
Right.
But then at the same time, he did want her to look a certain way.
Right.
Yeah.
But is it fair that, I guess the question, and again, I'm talking shit because I haven't seen, I guess the other question in 2018 is like, we all know that we do have identity issues wrapped up in our hair, but like, is it fair to have put that much on hair? Like, it's true that some black women aren't too carefree with their hair. Like you said, getting caught in the rain, going swimming. But it doesn't always morph into every other segment of your life. Sometimes it's just
now,
about your hair.
Now, at 18. But, you know, this is recent. This natural hair movement is fairly recent.
It's not really, though. You know what it is? Here's the thing. The natural hair movement itself is not recent. What's recent is it being marketed and called a movement. Like, because here's the thing. No, no, yes, Jeffrey, because look, what? Shit. Watch School Days. It's the fucking Good and Bad Hair song.
I know, but listen.
It's the same thing. I don't want hair weaved all down my back. I don't want this. I don't want that. It, like, it existed then. It was just called something different.
In the last, I'd say, 2 to 3 years, since the 70s, to me, the first time where you see a substantial amount of black women, like, with, you know, natural hair, afros, wearing them, like, in the corporate setting.
In the corporate setting, yes.
That's what I'm talking about. In the corporate setting. Some of the older ladies is like, so what's going on with that?
Right. Okay, that's valid.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, now women are wearing it proudly.
Yeah.
Like, they walk in the office like, yeah, what? And what? Whereas, even back in 2012, it would have been like,
well, I think we've been in cycles.
That's what I'm talking about. But in the 70s, it was like that.
But also in the 90s, remember, we had a whole Afrocentric movement in the 90s.
But that was more braids, wasn't it?
It was also short naturals, too, or like little kind of
little Toni Braxton.
Yeah, but also like little short, buzz cuts, like, or natural hair, but you would put your natural hair like in a chignon or something like that. But there
was
stuff.
In a what? What's called?
In like a French, like in a bun or something like that, right?
What'd you call
maybe a chignon.
I never heard of that. You were a chignon. You got all fancy on a chignon.
But, so there was a movement. Like, if you go back and watch movies from the 90s, if you watch, what's her name? The woman who played like the lawyer at the end of, I don't know why she's in my mind, but the woman who played the lawyer at the end of New Jack City. You know, she had like Kente.
Oh, yeah.
And she had a whole
Phyllis Stickney.
Yeah.
But to me, she stood out a lot in that movie. It was like, whoa.
But I feel like back then, the self-aware black woman was represented, like she was wearing tribal garb, she was wearing her hair natural, or she had dreads, or she had braids.
Remember, there was
like
a whole Kente cloth sash
moment.
It was kind of a lot of sashes. What's up with the sashes,
and then
yo?
And then you would have some dreads, like the woman who played the dean for Hillman. Like, she had the salt and pepper dreads. So there was a whole movement, but you're right, it was braids and dreads and
but
natural.
You don't think
but
that
it was part
was
of an
more
Afrocentric.
Celebrities and movies. Stars than actually like everyday
people that work for IBM.
I think it was academia. I think it was celebrities, but I think it was also academia and artists. Because I saw a lot of it.
Mary Alice, that was that woman's name.
Okay, I saw a lot of it with my mom's friends, but my mom's friends also worked in non-conventional spaces.
So I'm saying, but it was somebody wasn't walking in a Xerox,
moving to the South, and it doing all of that, and also like it's just now there's a market for it. Like before, you kind of had to find your own way on this journey. Mm-hmm. Now there's blogs and there's products. Yeah. And
well, that's also just a sign of the internet.
But I don't like the whole natural women shaming you. Now there's all.
Yeah, it's like, why is your hair straight?
What kind of natural are you? Why do you really get your hair blown out every time?
Right, because people are trying to tell you you're not natural because you get your hair blown out.
Do you have a curl pattern? I said, I don't care. I'm natural.
Right.
And I get my hair blown out.
Yeah.
But I'm still natural. Right. I know what is attractive on me and what isn't. I'm like, yeah, you front. Just like, my girl looks cute. It does.
Yeah.
Right. You know, right.
That ain't for you.
Right.
I ain't mad at you.
Because, like, for example, I'm natural, but I don't consider myself natural because I've never not been natural. For me, this isn't like some conscious choice.
So you only got to go to the salon and do all the.
Well, for me, it's not some conscious choice I made. It's just so I don't consider myself part of the natural movement. I don't claim myself as a natural person. And I don't even necessarily have to buy those kinds of products. I just never had to get a perm.
I'm part of the natural movement.
Whatever. But like Cheyenne's part of the natural movement.
Yeah. Well, she's a fucking thing about influencer. She's an influencer in it. Brian Head, dang, so we can't talk about Married to the Medicines.
Do you watch Married to Medicine?
Sometimes.
You ain't all the way locked in.
I just started back with the whole divorcing and
what's her name? Quad and Greg.
Yeah, what's her name? Carlo Girl, House Nasty. When I saw that clip, I was like, let's go back and watch.
Her house is nasty though. That's the sidebar. That's the thing about a lot of these. And then maybe it's a white thing too. I don't even know black side, right? But that's the issue when people buy these big ass houses.
Like, who's cleaning them?
Yes, the house is huge. Like I saw a thing today. Yesterday I was watching Tammy from Basketball Wives.
Okay, what's up? Tammy Roman,
and she was talking about Married to the Medicine. And in this latest episode, Eugene, it's funny because this is exactly what I said on text, Eugene and Toya are out looking for a new home. Mm-hmm. But they've decided to build a home from zero. Mm-hmm. And Tammy was like, why would you do that in Atlanta?
Right.
Like, there's so much inventory. There's so many types of houses. Building a home from zero is just dumb. It's just like a waste of money. Like, and there's only four of them.
Right.
They have two little sons. I think the sons are like 7 and 9 or something. Maybe even not that old. And obviously, then them two. And Tammy was like, she was like, yo, Toya, I was you.
Right.
I had the money. I was married to a basketball player. We had all this money. We lived in Atlanta. And she was like, I literally was you. And you know, we bought the big ass house. You know what? We used 5 rooms.
Right.
And she said, there was rooms in that house I literally never went into.
Right. You just had it to have it.
Yeah, you had to have it. So, back to the heavenly thing, I think that's what a lot of it is. You have a huge home.
Well, pay for a housekeeper.
The oldest boy is gone. He's in college. Right, and so there's only the little girl and the two of them. They're both moving a lot because they're a dentist and a doctor. So, like, yeah, the house gets messy because they probably using literally 3 rooms in that.
True, but, like, to Tasha's point, have somebody come in once a week and turn
but
the house.
But you don't have these type of, like, I don't need no lady in my house touching my stuff. Yeah, so, this episode.
A lot of our friends do it now. I'm surprised at how many people
my housekeepers do it.
Clean their own houses.
Yeah,
oh, it's a thing. Even in New York City, in apartments.
Well, because really?
Oh, absolutely.
Time people is get a commodity. Yeah. Yeah, my friends do it too.
It's like, yo, I got a housekeeper come through on Wednesday afternoons or whatever, so they ain't got to worry about it.
Yeah.
It
might not even be a top to bottom thing. There just might be some things that you just like that annoy you. Like my friend is like one of my friends, her housekeeper, the main thing is like dishes and laundry because she just does not want to have to deal with
it. For me,
things.
It would be baseboards. Baseboards are annoying. Yeah.
I'm gonna get on down that baseboard with scarf on. But this episode was also heavily going back to Miami to see her upbringing and try to come to peace with some stuff. So we'll get to see more of that next week. But I'm going to save Married to the Medicines for the next week when Bro get back. So,
can we talk about Black Love coming back?
Oh, I didn't know it was coming back. That's why you was watching it?
Yeah. No, I mean, it was on like a mid-season break.
Oh, I didn't. When's it coming back?
That episode was this last night. The one I was talking about was last night. Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought you said you saw it.
I saw a clip of it.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
I saw a clip of it from last season.
Yeah, they had it because it's not. It's no. It's the same season. It was on like a mid-season.
Oh, break. I thought you were watching the old shit.
No. So this episode last night, which was the first time in a few months, was about second marriages. So that's why they had Miss Tina and Richard.
And Richard Lawson.
And they had Glenn Turman. And they had, who else was a celebrity? I can't remember the other actor's name.
The dude from Why Did I Get Married.
Yeah.
That knows come like Taekwondo. And
Michael.
Michael something.
Yeah.
Who always plays an unlikable character.
Yeah.
Him.
He was in a Tyler Perry show too. Remember that show?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Him and his wife. And then like, you know, they also have like normal ass couples.
Okay.
But the funny thing about Tina and Richard that I didn't realize, I knew they knew each other, but like in their first marriages, like Tina and Matthew and Richard and his wife were like friends.
Oh, wow.
Like, Dorda used to be over at the crib with Beyonce and Solange.
Bianca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Bianca used to be at the crib with Beyonce and Solange when they were little. And every time Richard would come into town for something that had to do with like art or whatever, she said every time he came to town, like he hung out with her and Matthew, like they did dinner.
Oh, I had no idea about that.
I had no idea. She said they actually spent a lot of time together.
Game is cold, B.
Cold. So that was one thing that was surprising. But apparently all of this was before like B got famous.
Yeah, I get
it. So like when they were little kids. But the second thing was that Matthew's remarried.
I knew that.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, I knew he was remarried.
I didn't know that.
He's been remarried for like 5 years or something.
He was
like
married before she got remarried. Yeah. Because she was saying.
He just kept it low because I'm smartly. Because
it was messy.
Because
he just had a
but
baby.
He just knew that, but he just also knew that if he put it out in public, the blogs would destroy him.
Well,
because of what he did to them. Like, he would just be.
He had the baby out of wedlock.
Yeah, and so he did a lot of shit. And then obviously he's, you know, Beyonce's dad. So, like, the blogs, it was better for him to keep his wife on the low because he would have got bodied every chance they get. There would have been like, Matthew, you know. So I understand why he did that.
I had no idea. Yeah. Also, Matthew has no humility, so I'm also kind of surprised at that. But the whole reason that Tina ended up getting with Richard was because, so her best friend and Richard are good friends, which is how she met the Lawsons in the first place, the Richard and his first wife. So the weekend that Matthew was getting married, her girl was like, yo, you're not sitting in the house this weekend. Come out. Whatever. And she called Richard, like, Tina's in town. We need something to do. Like, where can we go find some men? And Richard was like, well, come hang out with me and let's get dinner and then we'll figure it out. So they hung out and they're at dinner. And at this point, Tina and Matthew have been divorced like a year and a half. So that Maddie got remarried like wild fast.
Mm-hmm.
And she's now ready to get back into the dating pool. Like, she hadn't been dating. And Richard's like, well, what are you looking for? And she tells him everything that she's looking for. And I could already tell she was looking for the anti-Matthew because she was like, I want somebody who likes to dance. I want somebody who's just like free and whatever. And
Richard was like, you looking for me?
And Richard was like, what about me? And she said her and her girl were both like, hell no. Because again, she's known him. And finally, like, he convinced her. He was like, what? I mean, what is there to lose? And she had him come with her. I think Beyonce was doing a show in Houston or something. Mm. And she asked him to come so that the press wouldn't be like, oh, Tina by herself, you know, blah, 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 blah.
And
that was like the official, like, kickoff.
Which Lawson's had a hell of a life. He dealt with a Gordy.
Yep.
And had a baby with a Gordy. Mm-hmm. And now he's had, you know, with Miss Tina. So
but they're so happy together.
Like, yeah, no, they see, I mean.
They
you
just
know,
seem to seem, balance each other out really well. And she even said about herself, like, I can tell he helps her affirm herself. Because she said that before they started dating, like, she made a list of things that were good about herself. Mm. And she said it was really hard for her to do. And she really looked back like, oh shit, like I've done some shit. Mm. You know what I mean? Like I've actually accomplished some really amazing things. And she also said that this time, you know, she is making sure she talks about what she needs and what she wants.
Yeah, well,
and,
she's a good
but the difference with her and Richard, like, I never knew, and I've been around Miss Tina in person, I never knew she had a personality at all.
Really? He brings it out.
I had never seen her talk. I'd never seen her smile.
Laugh.
Let alone be out here cutting rugs jokes. And dancing and courting jokes. Yeah. So when she got with Richard, I was like, bitch, all of this has been in you all this time. And we never, think about it.
Maybe because
like her and Matthew never smiled. Yeah. Like none of that. And I was like, that made me, I already dislike Matthew Knowles. And Matthew used to have an office in Sony.
Yeah,
on my floor. So I already don't like Matthew because he's an asshole. But this made me dislike Matthew even more because I'm like, something in you was crushing this woman's spirit.
If she has all this joy. Look at how Beyonce acted up until now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she was just untouchable.
Like a robot.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't open up, wouldn't stuck to certain music. Now she's all
doing what I want to do. You're rapping. And
she even, do you notice even with this last, with the Carter's album, her accent is back.
Yeah.
You know, they had trained her to even
not sound like Houston.
To not sound.
And she's back to the Houston shit. You claiming it.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know. I'm going to watch Black Love.
We should watch it. It's good. And Glenn Turman, his nasty ass. So Glenn's
30, got a hell of a life too.
Glenn was 34. I didn't realize how young he was when he was married to Aretha.
Yeah.
He was on his second marriage. Mm. Out of his second marriage at like 33, right?
Yeah.
So he's in Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles when he spotted his wife, who at the time was in grad school. And he said he was staring at her legs. And even the way he said, he was like, you know, she had them legs. I was like, y'all nasty. But she was 19, but they
made it work.
Yeah.
Speaking of Black Love, season finale of Insecure.
Yeah.
Sunday passed.
Underwhelming.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed the season finale.
I don't think it was underwhelming. I think it was perfect.
But the season on a whole was underwhelming.
I
think so.
I didn't like it until Lawrence came back.
But see, I didn't like it because Lawrence came back. I don't think there was a lot of... No, seriously, because... I guess it's because I'm measuring it against the last two seasons. You only have 8 episodes, but in the first two seasons, we saw a ton of character development, a ton of character growth. And yes, Issa had growth this season.
We saw growth, I think, with a lot of them. Well, growth and regression. Issa? Growth and regression.
Right.
We got way deeper into the Tiffany character.
Not way. We hired Tiffany for, like, what, 2 episodes?
Yeah, but we learned a lot about her in these 2 episodes.
Don't you remember that there was a cliffhanger at the end of the last episode where they dropped a mention that the baby might not even be her husband?
They might get back to that next season. She hasn't had the baby yet. So they might get back to that next season.
On the season finale of the last season, Molly answered, like, some emergency phone call while she was in bed, and she was like, oh, shit, what happened to that?
I don't remember that.
But they left mad stuff hanging.
But we got Molly... being really, I think this last episode really, when Issa and her had their little tiff about her not telling her about Nathan.
I mean, it was a self-awareness moment.
So. Yeah, very, so, but it carried through to like her calling the Asian Alex. Cat back. I think his name is Alex.
I'm pretty sure
it's looking
Alex.
Up, it ain't Alex. But anyway, Alex. She called old
but
boy
shout
back.
But shout out to him with his hair down, though. I know that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. And they had a real conversation. And usually in that conversation, she just she'll black out, like tied to. But she really like, you know, bit that, and they, you know, obviously they felt like they were starting fresh again. You know, because she really genuinely apologized. She got rid of Dro. I'm gonna leave.
But if you think the whole thing with Dro's wife being pregnant ain't gonna come back around.
Oh, no, no. It's all come back next. More stuff's come back next season, but she seems to be over him. Like I said, we got a little more Tiffany. Like, about, you know, we saw Tiffany's work. We saw Tiffany in a baby shower episode.
We saw Tiffany's work?
Excuse me. I'm tripping. We saw Kelly at work.
We got more of Kelly, but I still want Kelly. More of Kelly.
We're going to get more, but we got Kelly in the baby show episode, like, being vulnerable. For the first time, because she's always just the quick, snappy, talking shit. And then we got back to that in the last episode. But in that episode, you saw, like, and we also found out that her and Tiffany was super close. We didn't know that. Mm-hmm. They had a whole kind of separate relationship. So I think there was a lot of things that happened if you look backwards. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, maybe it wasn't as many kind of like fireworksy kind of things like Lawrence and Tasha. It wasn't kind of that stuff, but
true.
But I liked it. We saw Lawrence's dad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We still have Issa's parents. We got a little bit more background in the Issa, but I'm still like, what is that story?
Yeah, and where's her mom?
Where is her mom?
And I'm actually surprised that they don't do a little more with her and her brother.
Yeah.
Like, her brother's like, I mean, you know, he's very snappy.
He's
just cutting heads off and then walking away. I'm like, that's still your sister, fam. Like, there's nothing there. You just be nasty to her all the time. Like, so, I don't know. But I enjoyed the season.
There's something more there.
Well, there's definitely something
I did not enjoy it. I needed, like, 4 more episodes.
Well,
I did. I need a promo.
I what'd you think? Do you watch, first of all?
Yeah, I watched.
What do you think?
I wanted a little bit more out of the finale, but I struggle with Issa. Like, is she just weird, or is it just a character?
I think a lot of it is her.
So I think you don't watch it sometimes, Naima, and like think back to when we were 30 and you're thinking, I didn't do this.
But you know what? We were the cool girls in high school.
Yeah.
The whole thing is like Insecure came out of, and I'm not saying that to be on some humble brag shit, but we really were like, we were the cool kids in high school.
And college.
So like in college. So you said that so seriously. Like in college.
Okay.
But we were the cool kids. And the thing is that Awkward Black Girl was Insecure, which started from Awkward Black Girl, was born out of the fact that Issa herself never
was
really fit
awkward.
In. She was the black nerd. Mm. She was like the awkward person who couldn't really find her place in her way. So some of what, and then as a character, Issa's been with Lawrence. We still don't even know their origin story, but it seems like they got together like almost immediately out of college, right? Mm-hmm. So she's only had this one adult relationship. So she really just doesn't know how to finesse it. I think we were just way more savvy and fast, honestly.
What do you think about Molly?
Because we were doing a lot.
The Molly character, just in general, what do you think about her arc this season?
Do you like her? You don't like her, do you?
Molly.
Bro, I hate her.
I liked her, but I didn't like her as much this season. And then she reminds me of some people I know, you know, like that go-getter, competitive. Like, I don't know how I feel about now that she's with the black firm, now she's trying to, you know, she's trying to vie for her position.
Right.
And she doesn't care whose toes she steps on to get that little part of her. I didn't really like. Because at first you acted like you want everybody to like you.
Oh, his name is Andrew.
Andrew, yeah, I knew it was
Andrew. But then, you know, I didn't really like that part of her.
Yeah, yeah. I knew it was going to come back at some point to bite her that she burned those two ladies.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to come.
They bit her, but they just seemed kind of like,
they click this
cool
like,
on her,
like,
not
like,
me.
Yeah, they like, we see you.
Like, you're on your own in this firm.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you burned them, and you burned, what's his name?
The dude.
I was going to call him Tyson, but it ain't Tyson.
It's like Torian.
Torian.
Yeah.
Yeah, she burned him, too, and I know he's also very aggressive, but she burned him, too, so now she's on an island by herself.
Right, you know which is harder to all black.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, we clicky. You know what I'm saying?
She's kind of controlling. I've seen that. Like, do you agree with what she did with Issa? And
no,
yeah, I wanted to ask that from a lady's perspective.
Yeah,
what did y'all think about that?
And a lot of people have differing opinions on this. Here's the thing: he very well probably would have fucked.
No, he would have. He would have fucked up everything just when she saw him. It would have been different.
Here's the thing: I agree. I understand why Molly did what she did, and I might have done the same thing. But I would have been like, I wouldn't have been like, nigga, get out of here. I would not have taken it upon myself to be like, you need to be out and never come back.
Mm-hmm.
I might have been like, listen, if you want to hit her, do it tomorrow. Just let her have her day. It's her birthday. Like, whatever. Because that is not... What I do know is that when you're seeking closure for something, even if the closure is unhealthy, it's not for me to deny you that. Because all Issa needed... Like, again, Issa didn't even let him come in the house. She let him back in. But she needed to face him.
To see him.
Mm-hmm. She needed to at least just face him.
You think she'll let him back?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how long Nathan is supposed to last in this game, but Nathan might have just been there to be that catalyst. I mean, look at what happened. As soon as she walked away from that, she finally went in the house, unpacked, got her shit together.
Fixed the crib up.
And somebody
was nice, too.
Yeah, and somebody, yeah, she got, I was like, she got some furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody pointed out that, like, at the end of season one, she's on the couch outside the apartment,
mm-hmm.
having just been
crying,
dumped. End of season two, she's on Daniel's couch.
Mm-hmm.
End of season three, she's on her own
couch. Chilling. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there is some progression.
Yeah, it's
there.
Definitely. Yeah,
y'all not, understand the background of her and Daniel, because I think I feel like I missed something with them.
What do you mean?
Like them now being?
Well, no, how they went
to school together.
They went to high school together.
But did they used to hook up back then?
She had a thing for him, and I think it never. They were really close, and there was a chemistry
I think
there,
like
but,
a flirtation,
led to a hookup, which is why she ended up cheating on Lawrence, because when the door was finally open. She had been like, you know, you think about somebody at 30, you can still remember this, like thinking about that one thing from that one hookup from school that never happened, and then like, you
wonder
know,
if
what
kind of
it was going to be.
Yeah, I also thought it was kind of cool, like when they went to the the movies at the in the cemetery.
Yeah.
And Lawrence walked over to them and stuff and gave her the greatest nest and was talking and everything. And then he was like, how's it going with the block party? And she's like, oh, man, it's hard. I don't know. You know, just it's a lot of hurdles to jump. I'm kind of discouraged. And you see Lawrence kind of look like,
yeah, bitch.
I'm like, no, I took that easy because I'm done. Like, I remember why I left.
Right.
Like, because this is you. You always, like, complain, and you don't get things done, and you don't see things through, and you don't push through. And his whole zone, that's why he's like, let me get back. It's not that he doesn't still care for her, right. But I think, like, that was his I'm done moment, which is why I think we turned it to him going on the date with old girl.
And, you know, people were talking about that moment, but the reason I feel like that moment was unfair is because, yes, Issa was complaining and whining, but Issa actually, like, it's unfair to me because now Lawrence has his shit together. Now.
Right.
But he didn't. That was the whole point. You know what I mean? So, granted, Issa has been stagnant and she has been fearful of, like, taking leaps. But so was he. Until she kind of pushed him into that space. So, to me, it's unfair that, like, now all of a sudden Lawrence got his shit together, even though his reentry to the show was about him needing to call everybody he'd been fucking and telling him he got chlamydia. So, well, nigga, your shit still ain't that together.
Should I?
But, you know, but to me, for him to all of a sudden be like, yeah, I mean, I don't want Issa and Lawrence back together anyway. I've said that before. But I think it's unfair the way people were like, oh, yeah, now Lawrence remembers why he left. No, that's not why he left. He left because she cheated.
So, let me ask this question. How would you feel if... Okay, because she said she's over him, too. Remember, she said that to Molly. Like, I love him, but I'm ready to move on. And obviously, it feels like he's the same. So then how would you feel if you find out that he's dating somebody that you know?
It depends, right? Because...
If you're over him. And then you find out that he's dating somebody that you...
I'm the wrong one.
She is the wrong one.
Well, no. Come on. Come with it now.
No, she ain't the one. Well, actually,
No. Come on.
I wouldn't like it. Like,
why not?
I don't know. I'm a little territorial.
Even if... Obviously, he didn't know that you knew her. He didn't know that they knew each other. He met her... People don't remember.
Well,
met her at the baby shower. She was the girl that he was... Remember, they were looking at Tiffany's pictures?
Yeah, but him and Issa met the girl... Here's the thing. Him and Issa met the girl at the same time. They both met the girl at the baby shower. They both saw the girl again at the cemetery. So, it's the same...
She was in the cemetery? Oh, yes, she was.
Yes, she was. That was her event.
That's right.
Yeah, it was her event.
So, they know they run in the same circles.
Right. But they also... But there also
a big event!
But there also is no... but there also is no claim on her because they met her at the same time. She and Issa...
This is what I'm saying. So,
but she and Issa aren't even friends yet. But we don't know yet if he's...
Well, but they're friends... And Lawrence obviously doesn't know that they're mad and they're talking about doing things together.
Nor does she know that Issa and Lawrence used to date. Like, nobody knows any of this shit.
This is my point.
Right?
But I'm not talking about the show. I'm talking about if this happened in real life.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel when the reveal happened? How would you feel with all those circumstances? He didn't, you know, you met at the same time. It was no previous history.
But you're connecting on some business shit.
But you find out that your ex is dating this girl who you met and you kind of kicked away and she was cool. How would you feel?
I still wouldn't. I was in grad school with this girl that we actually went to undergrad together.
Mm.
But you know, you just have some people, you know their face, but we weren't ever friends or anything, right? So we were like, oh, you look familiar. Didn't you go to, you know, Carolina or whatever?
Mm.
So we started talking and she was cool and, you know, I thought we clicked and, you know, we thought she was from South Carolina, et cetera. But as I mentioned something about my ex-boyfriend, and then she said his full name. And I was like, oh, you knew him from?
Mm-hmm.
She was like, well, no, I didn't know him from USC, but I recently dated him. I said, you did what? And she was like, I recently dated him. And then I happened to tell her some information she didn't know about his baby mamas and his drama.
Why you hating, yo? Why you guys throw hate in the game?
I called him and she called him. Because...
Wait, time. We got to time this story out 1 second. Why did you do this? Why did you just destroy this whole situation?
Because he was the ex I always reserved the right to mess with if I wanted to again. He was that ex. So,
okay.
You know, I reserved the right. So I had a conversation with him and, had a conversation with her, and we tried to continue our friendships. We're friends now. Me and the girl, we're cool. But I had to pull back from her because she would like bring him up in her example. She was no longer dealing with him, but you know, and I had to remind her that I was the girlfriend. He just was kind of hooking up with you.
Damn, you are savage, yo. You are so savage, it
was
Tosh. Like
she always would try to take little, and so I made him address her.
Damn!
I made him address her, and he was like, I don't want y'all to have no beef. If you're going to be cool, you're going to be cool. But, you know, I made him clarify for her.
When's your birthday?
I'm a Gemini. The difference is in the situation.
That's so funny.
Yeah, you went hard.
So dude. For me, at 30, I'm trying to think what that relationship equivalent would have been at 30. I'm the type of person who tends to be able to be friends with my exes, like on some whatever shit. So I will say that now there have been points where somebody that I dated in my 30s, like with homeboy Vicky, was considering dating somebody new. I had no issue with it, right? But that also, but Issa's is fresh, and it was like her only ever real relationship plus somebody she lived with. I don't really have a correlation that I can put myself in the mindset at that age.
And, it's because it's slick how they did it, because in actuality, everybody's innocent.
Yeah.
Like, nobody absolutely knows anything. It's not like, oh, you know, she's like, oh, I don't care. She's like, nobody knows anything.
Nobody owes anybody anything.
Nobody owes anybody. Obviously, next season, we're going to see how this unfolds. But because I felt like there was a real connection between Lawrence and the girl.
And old girl, yeah.
Like, there was, like, a thing.
But I also felt like old girl was really... Some people are saying they don't trust old girl. Some people are like, I don't really trust her yet. And even I was wondering, I was like, is old girl going to steal Issa's idea? Like, is this a setup, or is this genuinely like somebody who...
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that. Issa, but obviously, Lawrence's dad saying the thing about, you know, you think it's easy, you got to dig in deep, made Lawrence look at it different, and I feel like he's going to dig in deep with her. Right, like, okay, like, she is divorced, but she's dope.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, like, hold that against her. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It felt like he's going to really try to dig it. So, we'll see. So, I enjoyed the season more than you did. But
I just needed more of it.
Okay. Well, hopefully, we'll get something.
That did not feel like a finale to me.
Top of 99. Top of 19, rather.
I will see.
I'm hoping.
Top of 19? Nigga, it's October.
I know. Mid-19. Spring 19.
Yeah.
Summer 19.
Who, Trump?
Nah, I mean, fuck Trump. I'm not bringing him up today.
Okay.
Kanye West, man.
Do we have to talk about Kanye?
No, we don't have to.
I don't know that I want to.
He's a fuck-ass nigga, man.
He's still doing the same shit.
You saw him the clip today when he's in Detroit?
No, I'm not watching anything he does ever. Again, in the rest of my life.
Somebody took him to a high school in Detroit.
Why would you do that? Why would you let him talk to the children?
And he jumps up on a desk in the class and is yelling at the kids about they need to leave Elon Musk alone.
What? He's off his meds. And I don't say that snarkily, but we're all clear, right, that Kanye has diagnosed bipolar and I think also maybe chronic depression. And
but didn't he say he was off his meds though?
Yeah,
he said it like it was good.
But I think he's been off and back like, on.
You need to be on.
But here's the thing: I think that Kanye is that kind of person who he goes on his meds and then he feels like it dulls his creativity, and then he goes back off them.
And then he goes into like a manic. He goes into a manic space.
Mm. He's heading to manic.
Like he might be manic.
He might be manic.
Did you see the clip that of Kim on the show?
That I saw.
Talking about the band-aid.
But that show's hilarious.
Yeah. That's manic. Yeah.
Like, they had a big fight because he's like, the nigga could say to her, I designed clothes for you and you can't, like, nigga, really? Are you quitting?
He also was like, you do it for Saint.
Yeah.
Who is a baby?
Who's like, who's 20 months. Like, what are you talking about, fam? Like, Saint can barely cut the cane just eating solid food.
Right.
And you mad. You want that same treatment as...
Over a Band-Aid. And
like,
then
and she gave a Band-Aid, but it wasn't the right color.
It wasn't the right color. He needed a flesh color Band-Aid.
That was crazy. But what that also showed me, Because, you know, them Kardashians, we already know how they moving, right?
This ain't their fault, though.
No. I'm not saying it's their fault at all. What I'm saying is it shows we know how they move.
Right.
And what I meant by that is everything is for a reason.
They're very calculated.
They're setting
so
it up.
So the fact that they put that in the show.
They're setting it up.
Yeah, that was for a reason. That showed also showed me that's just a little tip of the iceberg of what Kim is really dealing with all day, every day. That's
what
this nigga's up to move to Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, where you going? Right. We got three kids. 5, 2 months, and an infant.
Yeah.
And you going to Chicago just to hang out?
Also, who knows if it's going to happen? Because I think she even said that. She was like, what Kanye may want today may be completely different.
But imagine having to deal with that with every three day. Kids, five, right. two, mm. and an infant. And you got a nigga who's literally minute to minute.
Yeah.
1 minute is talking about building spaceships to go to Mars. Then he's talking about putting a new album out.
Yeah.
Then he's talking about his new sneakers. Then he's talking about Elon Musk.
Then he's talking about
now I gotta go down to Harvey at TMZ.
Now he needs to talk about your Instagram feed.
She
said, I'm not gonna sit here and manage my Instagram feed with you. And here's the thing.
Because her Instagram feed makes money.
Right.
Like, I don't need you to touch my shit. Feet. Good.
Yeah.
we raking in millions off my joint. Like, I don't need you to touch nothing.
The other thing is, I really do, you know, as much as we all have a distaste for the Kardashians in our mouth, I do feel bad for Kim because, again, once you have three kids, shit is real. I don't care how superficial you are.
How much money you got.
I don't care how much money you got.
You in.
It's real. And they're a family with a bunch of little kids.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of little kids, which means, like, there's a lot of real shit happening in there at all times. And you got, Scott Disick may be a piece of shit, but he seems to be a good father.
Yeah, he's into the kids.
You know, you got your brother, who is maybe a child himself half the time, who is maybe not. We still don't really know if he's a competent dad
Right? His child's mom has her own issues.
Is insane.
She let
right?
me down so
you got
bad.
Your father figure is off doing some whole other... Like, there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
There's a lot happening. And your husband, who you really need to be here with you helping doing the shit, is like off having a crisis every 9.5 months. Like, she's gotta be exhausted.
Yeah.
So what? How long do you think she's gonna hang in there? Do you think she was just hanging in there for the third child?
I mean, she didn't need him for the third child. They had Saint with a surrogate. So there's obviously some eggs off somewhere.
You talking about trying to have another one.
Yeah, I mean, which they definitely do not need to do. But I will say that I think that the reality here was probably not as fly as the fantasy, right? Because Ye continues to degress over the years. I think the reality was not as fly as the fantasy, but also, like, he's in debt up to his eyeballs. He's probably leaning on her very heavily right now. And I do believe, you know, I do believe there probably is some sense of, like, I can't just bounce on him.
Yeah, because there's three kids, although I get the vibe, not yet talking shit, but just kind of watching, you never really know what's happening.
Right.
Watching the outside, the images that they put out, I don't get the vibe that it doesn't feel like he's that involved with the children.
That's what
I'm saying.
Like,
he kind of is like he's around. When he's around, he's kind of around.
Yeah.
But I don't see, like who's, like, really involved with the kids off the dome? Jay-Z. Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Jay-Z, you can see he's involved with...
He's all the kids he has.
Who's that?
Well, he got so many. He can't come
but... I don't know if that was a good...
Jay is with Blue.
He's with the... But we don't see the twins at all, so we don't know what's happening with that, but I'm assuming...
But you never see Kanye in the street with one of the kids. You see Jay out with Blue when Beyonce is not around.
Exactly.
You never see Kanye out with the kids.
Just like, oh, we went to the movies, so we went to the park.
Yeah, you never see Kanye with the kids and Kim's not around. You don't just see Kanye just like... And Saint and North is old enough to hang out with Daddy.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean. North is old enough.
Saint and the little in Chicago, right?
They're baby.
When Blue was little, you'd see Jay like carrying Blue, like you know what I'm saying. Like,
so why don't they show us the twins? Have y'all talked about that?
Who knows?
They
showed us somebody. They showed us two babies, and people were like, "Them ain't the twins." And I'm like, "Come on, y'all, they might."
No,
be
they're
the
twins.
They're twins.
But I don't know why they don't show them more. I don't know.
I mean, look at what Blue.
Yeah,
went
look
through.
What Blue went through. Remember,
look
they
at what
talk about
Blue
her
went
hair.
Yeah, they talked.
People talking about she wasn't cute. All kind of dumb shit.
Heinous
things that people say. So I think they were like, you know, we tried with Blue. And we're not gonna
and
let
they tried to protect Blue to a certain age,
yeah.
too. Like, remember when Blue used to be a blanket?
Yeah, we kind of covered up and stuff.
So
and my, yo, like I always say, if you look backwards, man, yo, Mike knew about a lot of shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
He was the go crazy on him for covering them kids' faces. He knew. He was like, no, it won't be normal. Have to live normal lives if y'all see who they are.
Right.
Mike was calling shit 20 years ago, man.
Well, because Mike was crazy. I mean, his life was on a different.
Yeah, but he grew up in it, so he saw what could happen. You know,
it was a different level of exposure. But in terms of like Kim, because a lot of people are saying that, like you said, like, okay, if they're showing this, because I was even surprised they were showing this on the show.
Yeah.
And even though at the end, Kim tried to be like, Kim did go get the Band-Aids at the end.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, he does so much for me. So it's like she tried to clean it up, even with the Instagram fight. At the end, she was like, well, Kanye ends up being right anyway. So it's like, okay, you tried to clean it up, bitch, but it's still.
But it was a.
You still put it in there. So do I think it's. Because, like, one thing I will say about these Kardashian chicks, yeah, they flip from short term relationship to short term relationship, but, like, Kourtney and Scott never really ever break up.
Are they divorced?
They are, but, like, they come back and forth and back and forth.
They were never married.
Oh, that's right.
They were never married. Yeah. But they're split. But, like, Khloé and Lamar.
Hung in there for a long
time. She hung
in
there for a long time.
And she's hanging in a long time with Tristan, too. Yeah. You know, apparently he's still out here wild
now. And with
now.
Kim and Reggie, I think it was Reggie who eventually ended up.
And Reggie couldn't handle that heat.
Yeah, Reggie couldn't take it. So it's like, when they do get into something, like, they're trying
to stick it up.
And they're invested in it. And I think even with Khloé's other relationships, I don't think Khloé's been the one ending it. I think it's been
niggas like the dude. I can't do it.
So, like, I don't think Kim's going to bounce on Ye eventually. I will say that I think if he starts to become a genuine liability to her brand,
which is very likely.
Like, even when he was saying that he thought he was going to lose his marriage, it was because of the MAGA shit.
And all, you know, the Trump shit. The Trump shit.
But, I mean, now she's kind of balanced it out because she's actually going to talk to Trump about policy and stuff like that. But I think if he continues to become a liability, then she'll be out. I think it would be that before it would be anything else, because I think it might be too much. Like, I already can't handle you emotionally, but now you're also, like,
messing up
jeopardizing
else.
My paper. And she is the cornerstone of the entire Kardashian brand. So
We'll see, man.
Fuck him, though. Yeah, just for the record. Yeah.
I got to also mention Dr. William H. Cosby.
in the clink, currently.
Literally in jail, like, as we
speak. Right now.
Which is just bonkers on 100 levels. I just can't wrap my mind around Bill Cosby at any age, let alone 80 years old, being, like, inside. Now, I know he'll probably be in solitary and, you know, but the fact remains, he's still inside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I guess deservedly so, because he did some heinous shit, but it's just, like, damn, man.
I mean, listen,
Still hurts.
Feeling compassion because he's old and he doesn't have all his faculties about him.
And even that for me, it's just that it just hurts that one of you know a guy who we thought was I'm not making any concessions or like trying to you know say you know he doesn't deserve what he got, but like right. you know he did do a lot of things for black culture for a long time. So it just hurts to see a guy who was up there. You know, be at this space. You know,
right.
It's like, you know, Bill Cosby rocked since the 60s.
Yeah.
And like, you know, now he's like, he's ending his life inside. Again, not saying he didn't deserve to be inside, but it's tragic.
It's tragic. But here's the thing.
Yeah, I hate, this is another country of one thing, but I hate that this kind of like mob mentality on online with it. Like, again, I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve to be inside for what he's done, but it just feels like I don't know, man. So many of these people online.
But you know what? No, Jeff, this is where I'm gonna disagree with you. I don't feel like it's a mob mentality. I think what you see is people reacting to how many people are still defending Cosby. And people are speaking out against Cosby so vocally because there are still so many people who were like, I literally saw somebody the other day say, what if it comes out that Cosby never did it? And I'm like, he admitted it. Yeah, like, what are you talking about? He said he did it.
Yeah.
And I think, and that's what I see is people being like, people responding to the fact that folks are posting stuff like, the black man got arrested, but what about Weinstein?
Yeah, those
irk me. And keep that same energy.
I don't understand what that has to do with the other.
I think what you're seeing is people responding to that rather than people just, like, I haven't really said anything about Cosby going to jail because I have nothing to say. I mean, here's the thing. I think one thing about me that I think is different than some people, and is a little different than normal cancel culture is that I said this before on the show. I have no problems watching The Cosby Show right now. None.
Is it still come on?
On, I think it's on TV One.
It was coming on. Coming back.
It's on one. Mm-hmm. It's on one of these networks. It's back on one. People can't separate, and I think a lot of what people are defending is, you know, is Cliff Huxtable, and he's not Cliff Huxtable. That he's not, because before the Cosby Show, he was already 50 something years old, 30 something years.
security.
So while my other homeboys were saying, well, I can go to a place that has cheaper new tires. The New York dude was the only one that was like, just get some used tires. So I just felt like that shows how his mentality was.
Mm.
He was living in a rough area, Charlotte, which he said,
from the Bronx trying to get their life back together, yeah, and Charlotte and is already in the media.
Yeah, and I got a couple of things. They always have a couple of hustles. And I was just like, no.
Credit score probably 535.
But he thought that he could shoot me, like, these text messages is something about us. That just, like, I felt like he thought he could bullshit me, and I'm smarter than he thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I would catch him up, and he was like, yo, I see you on yourself. Well, what I do for a living, which is why I'm here. I'm a employee relations investigator for a large company.
Oh, wow.
So I question people on sexual harassment, on discrimination, and things like that on a daily basis. So I learn to observe behaviors and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just always these behaviors from these cats from New York. But they want a Southern woman, and I just don't... Why do y'all want a Southern woman so bad? Why do you think you want a Southern woman so bad?
Because they think Southern women are docile.
Yeah.
They think Southern women are more docile than New York women. But to your point, it's about the demeanor that you present. Because the other thing, and Tasha, you and I have this conversation all the time, is that Southerners can be fake nice.
Right.
So they'll be like, oh, yeah, da, 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 but really don't fuck with you. Whereas New Yorkers might let you know they don't fuck with you like up
front.
Right,
right.
So I think that there's just like how up north there is like a presumed stereotype about men from the South, and it's fading because there are so many transplants that you get to see firsthand. There is for New York men, like the South is the land of milk and honey, like women going, some big booty girl going to cook for you,
right?
Yeah. Clean your house,
rub your feet,
yeah.
and not worry about, you know, support, yeah, you no matter
hold
what
you down
doing.
No matter
hold,
what
yeah hold mm-hmm. you down no matter what and blah 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 blah. But what they're not realizing is that in the South, even more than the North, educated black women out earn, out, you know, out own, mm-hmm. out everything the men by like 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
So you're actually entering a more competitive pool when you get down there. And I don't think they go down there expecting that. So like your dude, for any dude who's moving down South at 48, who's single, who's talking about he getting himself, just avoid that. But the other dude is from Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
See, I told
What's
Tasha.
His vibe? What was his vibe when you went out with him? The Brooklyn guy.
I liked him. He's a narc. He's an undercover narcotics agent.
Okay.
And he has that look, which is why he's about 44. We had really good conversation, though we have opposing views on a lot of things. Mm. He doesn't like the Southern Christian thing, you know, the going to church, and that's how y'all live in church, and these crooked preachers, you know, he's big on that. That down South, they teach us.
He's a 5%er though, right?
No, he's not a he's agnostic, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And so you know, he just said that when he used to come down South to his grandmother, the preacher, he felt bad by it with the preacher. The preacher ended up molesting his cousin, his boy cousin.
Sheesh.
So he has this thing.
Is that a terrible?
With, yeah. You know, especially Southern Christianity.
Oh, right.
Based on his experience from coming down South. But we have opposing views on some things. With him, I didn't feel like he was shady. I felt like he wasn't as, Southern men naturally, like, to me, look out for you, opening the door for
with
you.
Manners. And,
you yeah. know, they come to your crib, they see the trash right there, they're picking the trash up. I have noticed New York men, the ones I met, it's not second nature to them to just kind of look out for you like that.
Mm. I could see that. I mean,
I think it depends.
I think, like, again, I only speak for the black side because I don't know how the white side do. But I just think that, like, with black people in general, it's funny that you're saying this, and it made me think of it made me think of Insecure, because when Issa first met Nathan, mm-hmm. it was the LA thing. Remember, yeah. He kept saying, mm-hmm. "You LA girls, mm-hmm. you LA girls." Mm-hmm. And I think we have a tendency as a people to go to a space and just try to like assign these broad strokes on whatever city it is. This is how they is in Atlanta. Oh yeah, Houston niggas is like this. Chicago, like this is what Chicago people talk about. Detroit people. Detroit people talk about mm-hmm. Cleveland people. And like they always have these kind of broad strokes. And so I feel like you said, I think like a lot of New Yorkers are going down into Charlotte and some other parts of the South for whatever reason. And they're painting the women are painting the men with the Southern men with a broad stroke mm-hmm. and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And, I can only speak for me. When I went to school, my first roommate was from, I think it was from like Louisiana, and it was four of us: Louisiana, Baltimore, D.C. Right. So then, and there's a whole bunch of other people in the dorm from all these different cities. So early on, when I went to school, I was like, wow, like black people, I went to a black school. I was like I thought black people were kind of all the same. And I realized that we're like mm-hmm. very different. Mm-hmm. And so from that point on, I opened my brain up. I think when you go to a different space, you got to almost like try to just wipe clean.
Right.
And just mm-hmm. take in what that space is. It can't be like, I'm going out here and I'm new. Let niggas know like that's how we do in New York. Just go down there and open this. I think a lot of people are very closed off with that thing. You know what I'm saying? Now, all New York dudes are not this way or that way.
From what borough though? Like I told her she needs a Harlem nigga.
Cause yeah. Bronx niggas is grimy just like that. And Brooklyn niggas is whatever.
You need a dude from Harlem.
But also, you're also running into dudes that are in their 40s, right?
They've
just getting down south, so they're like, their preconceived notions are like locked and loaded. They've probably been locked and loaded.
Well, the one from Brooklyn, he's been down since college, and he has the strongest. His accent is stronger than yours. It's so crazy.
Well, because a lot of them dudes OD.
You've been down here since '95.
These dudes OD because they wear it as a badge.
Like, I'm a New York
dude. I'm a New York dude.
And I will say, in the 90s, especially the early to mid-90s, New York carried a whole different cachet. Like, before digital opened everything up and made everything feel closer. Because even when I moved back to New York in 96. I moved to New York in 96. So even after that, when I used to come home, it was like, oh, Naima in New York now. Mm-hmm. She big time now. Mm-hmm. Just because I moved back here.
Yeah.
And it was like a whole nother, like my friend had a boyfriend and them, and their friends would be like, what's up, New York? Oh, you from New York? Like all of a sudden it was like a harder thing to kick it to me because I lived in New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was just like a thing. You know what I mean? So I will say in the 90s, it was like a whole, and I think some people up here who haven't spent time down there still think that's it.
If I go down there, like I'm gonna be a king because I'm from New York, and so everybody's just gonna like bow down because I'm from Brooklyn or whatever. And it's like,
and it's
nobody
not just
care.
The dudes. I was hanging out with these two girls. They went down to college. They went to Johnson C. Smith, and I think one of them was from Spanish Harlem or something. Mm-hmm. But we were cool, but I felt like they would always try to play me the same thing. Like, just because someone talks slow with the twang does not mean they're slow.
Right.
And like say we would be about to roll to a party. Tasha, you go ahead and get our tickets and we'll go. No, bitch, you can get our tickets. Like, you know, like, they would.
They play you like you're dumb.
Just because I was, and we are, like, she said, we're fake nice. So I'm be like, hey, how you know, but nah, bitch, I'm not about to do that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't realize. They would try to always, I felt like they would always kind of push the envelope with me, and I'd kind of chilled and backed off from them because I thought they took advantage.
So let me ask you a question. Why do you keep dating New York guys? Is there something about New York guys that you do like?
No, I don't. They
just come to you.
And I wonder now if it's because I carry myself a certain way that they are the only ones, well, not the only ones, but they have more confidence in approaching me. You know, they think they from New York.
Because
so
you kind of do need somebody. I say this with no offense. Tasha needs somebody who can kind of like handle Tasha.
Yeah. Like, I do need somebody to also be like, you need to just sit your ass down right now and shut up. Like, I do need that because I'll push you. So I feel like those guys are the ones who tend to approach me. They feel like, oh, I can handle her
because she intimidates. Like, even some of the people that we went...
The Southern guys?
Yeah, there are people... Like, so we... A bunch of us from high school are still crew right now. Mm-hmm. And Tasha still has the reputation in the crew for having the mouth. When actually, I probably have a worse mouth than Tasha. But Tasha's just known, like, Tasha might pop off.
You smile. Second. You like that shit, too. So maybe you need... I think you need to go and get you, like, a D.C. dude or Maryland dude. Really? It's kind of right in the middle. You know what I'm saying? They're like... Mm-hmm. They're not Southern per se, but they're like more South than New York. Mm-hmm. But they still kind of city. They well, not kind of. They very especially the DC guys are very city slick in their own way. Yeah. But they'll still probably treat you a little more politely.
Yeah,
okay.
Go on for that DMV and let me know how that worked out.
I do think there's also with dudes from the South, and obviously I haven't dated from the Southern. From the Southern dating pool in like a decade, but I still did do it for a very long time after I moved up here. There's a certain amount of subservience that is expected, even if you're just doing it just for the sake of doing it. And I think where Tasha and I are alike and have always been alike is that not that we don't mind a certain amount of deference to the person in our life, but we need them to prove that they can lead. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of men down South, just the fact that they're the man is enough for, like, the woman can be the one who owns the house. She can have the higher paying job. She can have the higher paying whatever. And she's going
to she's
just,
still supposed to, like,
she's
going to
let you, but a lot of women will do that. They're going to let you rock just because they were taught us what they're supposed to do. Just
also,
because
a lot, supposed to I find that a lot of those women in that space will also let rock, at least for a little while. And this is where niggas get caught up. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of those women will let you rock for a little while, especially a woman of a certain age, because a lot of them, you know, if they're not, they do want to kind of settle down and you know, have a family and be in a, you know, a stable environment. So they'll kind of let you rock out. But then once you get in, then it flips and then niggas be like, what happened? It's like, she was never really like that. She just kind of like put the bait out there. You took the bait. Now you're in.
Right.
Now it turns out it's like, yo, man, my wife always be beat. It's like, yeah, well, she that's who she was.
Or they get in, and we've seen this with a lot of people we know, they get in and they get bored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too.
The men marry the safe choice. Yeah. No disrespect to the so-called safe choice. But then
hold on that. So the men can get bored because we talked about this on the show before too, because a lot of dudes get with somebody. You know, say they do get married and have a child or whatever, right? And then immediately they start looking at their wife, their woman, whatever the situation is, as a mom. Mm. Right? It's a mom. She's the mother of my child. Like, I can't do no freaking nasty shit. She's the mother of my child. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so then they go try to get the side piece who they can do all the nasty shit with because that's not the mother of their child. That's not.
Well, it's not even just a sexual
and
thing.
I feel like this is crazy.
But I mean, I don't mean this is. I'm talking about sex now, but I mean just overall. Right. I think a lot of dudes
are like, I can't hang out with my kids. I can't do certain things.
We can only do certain things as a family. We go to Chuck E. Cheese, or we go to the game, or we go to dinner, or we go to Applebee's or whatever. We go to church, but some of the other fun shit.
Right.
They won't do anymore with their woman because that's the mother of my child. So they go and get the little side piece and do whatever the deem the wild shit, whatever that is.
Right.
And then what happens is then here come old so-and-so who doesn't look at your wife like that. And then now he's doing all the buck wild shit with your wife. And you're like, I can't believe she cheated on me. It's like, yeah, well, then he left the door open. Because you was out here running around and so-and-so, you know, pulled all that shit out of your wife. That was always there that you decided to leave dormant.
So, Jeffrey, have you ever dated a Southern woman?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Where was she from?
I dated a girl from D.C. Well, D.C., I guess.
D.C. kind of only halfway counts.
It don't really count on the way.
Have you, below the Mason-Dixon, have you dated anybody from below the Mason-Dixon?
Right.
No, we just dabbled. I can't say we dated. To the point where we got deep.
Okay.
Unless I'm forgetting somebody, because I'm good to forget.
You might have forgotten, but yeah.
I don't. Nobody that can remember, and if I'm forgetting somebody, please forgive me.
You're going to get an angry phone call.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get the pissed off phone call. But, I can't remember. Not no Carolinas or nothing like that. But, It's funny, like I met this woman in Atlanta fairly recently, and she's from Virginia. She's been living in Atlanta like 30 something years, so she's basically a Georgia girl and well, woman. And I had to adjust myself.
How so?
Because she was such a Southern lady.
Okay.
And I had to adjust my shit. Because it was like, not that I'm like aggressive or crazy, nothing right. at all, but it was just like she was so like
things were proper.
Yes, and it was like I have to, oh wait a minute, right. I gotta adjust because there's a whole kind of different vibe from this deep South thing that I'm not really used to.
Right,
but it was
different social norms.
Different social norms, just different ways she moved. Like you know. It was cool. We had great. It didn't go anywhere. We you know, hung out a couple times. We had great conversation. But like, it was just like, oh, and I said it to her a couple times. I was saying it as a compliment. I think she kind of got a little about it. I was like, you're a really nice Southern lady. You know what I'm saying? Like I said it to her like more than once. Like you're a really nice Southern lady. Like in my mind, was she like reminding my aunt or something? Like she was just this nice Southern woman. Like you know, but Yeah, but you know, my family's from the South, so I understand, you know, a huge chunk of that culture.
Right.
But again, like, I think people should not underestimate Southern women.
Yeah, I think
that's dumb.
I would say the biggest difference in how people, because obviously I have both sides in me really heavily, I would say the biggest difference in how people move up here versus how people move down there is just everything here is way more direct.
And you know, around there is kind of
down there, Tasha actually has a friend, and he and I had a little connection going, and he actually was put off by the fact that I was direct. But I was like, I live 1,000 miles away. Like, I ain't got time to be kicking on the phone.
Yeah, what we doing?
Yeah, like, and I think there's more of a directness in all exchanges, like in casual exchanges, mm-hmm. in business exchanges, and even in dating, like there's a lot more ceremony. And I think it can throw people off the directness of New Yorkers and how they like. I think the reason that some men think New York women or some people think New Yorkers are aggressive, period, is because I always say New York will give you a quick no, but you can come around to a yes. You're getting a no first. But then it might turn into a yes. Whereas in some other places, they'll tell you yes when they mean no. Have no intention of ever doing a shift. They're like, yeah, okay. But New Yorkers will be like, nah.
And then you chase them around.
Yeah, but New Yorkers will be like, nah. And then you gotta like bring back. And
Do you like the directness?
Not a whole lot. I think I'm kind of in the middle. I am more tolerable because people in the South can't take me a lot. Mm-hmm. Like even my Sarahs, they'll say, leave it. Tasha says what everyone's thinking, mm-hmm. but we wouldn't dare say. My mother is that old Southern. I make her cringe with the things that I say.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't sugarcoat shit. So, you know, mm-hmm. I'm a little bit nicer with being direct, but so I think I can handle it more than the average, but a lot of people think I'm a lot. Mm. And so now they think Naima's real. I can't believe Naima just said that. Like
when they come out, they be like, Naima, you're so aggressive. And I'd be like, I'm assertive. I'm not aggressive. And the stuff I'll say is not even really crazy stuff. And I'll be like, Naima, you do that to Naima. I can't believe you said that. And I'm like, everybody was thinking the exact same shit just now. You know, or something like that. And it's just, even, it might have been something as simple as just getting a dude to step off in the club. And it's
so
just
do
like,
you find it hard dating in the South?
Oh, yes.
And why is that?
It's not hard to meet people at all, but it's hard to date for it to turn into something.
To be turned mm-hmm. serious. Mm-hmm. And why do you think that is?
I think men still feel like for some reason they have to play games, and you really don't, not at this age, not mm-hmm. at my age. Just tell me what's up. Let me make the decision. But they still feel like, oh, I got to say that I think after one conversation she could be the one, or you know, like I don't like
selling dreams.
That's selling dream shit. So I think a lot of people don't deal with their past issues.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just think dating now, even I look at my niece and nephew are seniors in high school. Mm-hmm. They're both very, very attractive. My niece is very pretty, much prettier than I was. But, like, when I was her age, I was on homecoming court and all of that. She's not... She can't even get a date. Smart,
literally, literally a beauty pageant queen.
Yeah, literally a beauty pageant queen. But just, like... I don't know. People just don't date. Like, let me go out and take you to such and such. Like, it's just really hard.
And see, going back to the nice Southern lady. I'm not going to say her name. That's really not a compliment.
She definitely was annoyed with
it. But, like, we went out. I just wanted to get something to eat. And to me, it was like, oh, we just went and got something to eat. And then, like, mm-hmm. the person who, like, you know, was... kind of put it together was like, yo man, I was like, I was like, get something to eat, right? But I guess it was a big deal. It's going on a real date.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I don't want to say it was a big deal, like I'm discarding her, like not trying mm-hmm. to say I didn't enjoy myself. I did, but it was like a really big deal,
right,
that we went on a date. And mm-hmm. I was like, why? But I guess I'm sure in Atlanta it's probably worse than Charlotte.
But you know what's funny is that that's a conversation that comes up a lot. You've probably seen this on Twitter about how hard it is to get New York women to cook for you. And part of it is like, because there's so much other shit we can do before you need to come in my house and make a meal. And I think mm-hmm. down south, like suggesting a first date or like come over and I'm a cook is not that unusual.
For them,
you don't do it. Yeah. you ain't come up in here.
Like, come over and let me cook you a home cooked meal.
We can meet at the so and so.
But yeah, I've always, now that's one thing about men from DC and New York. I feel like they are more apt to date, and dating is cheap, and it's crazy. Dating is cheaper.
It's so cheap down there. Yeah,
it's so cheap. So they think our little dates ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? But the men actually from the South want to Netflix and chill all the time. I mean, you're not coming over just to lay up with me and watch a movie. Right. You're not doing that.
I don't even want to go to nobody's crib early. I don't know you like that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
All right. If I come out to go to somebody's crib that early, I'm not going to really be comfortable. Because mm-hmm. I don't know you like that. I'm mm-hmm. like, I can't. You know what I'm saying? I'm be like, I'm kind of on edge.
But that's also just a difference, and I know we're running long, but that's also just a difference in environment, because I even remember being down there once, and I think there is like this really weird hesitancy, and maybe part of this is me being in the music industry, but like you said, going out to get something to eat, or somebody be like, yo, I got this round, or I got mm-hmm. this meal, or whatever, it's like nothing. And I remember, you might remember this, there was one year homecoming, there were a bunch of all of us from college hanging out, and this has been within the past 10 years. I can't remember how long ago it was, but it was within the past 10 years. And it's after the club, it's after whatever, we go on to Waffle House. So we called in an order to Waffle House. Whole order might have been $40. It's 6 grown-ass men with good-ass jobs in the room, but nobody's actually fucking anybody who's in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And these niggas all sat there and looked at each other. I was like, it's a $40 check. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I'm going to pay for this shit. It's $40. It's mm-hmm. a Waffle House.
Right.
There was something about the idea of somebody paying for something for somebody they not having sex with.
Right.
was, and I mean, these are niggas that had known them for like mm-hmm. 10 years, like 15 years. These are all boys.
Wow.
And I was like, yo, y'all are so whack. Mm-hmm. And I went and paid for everybody's food. Because I was just like, this is crazy.
And it's only
$40. Atlanta is different, I think, than out there. They're on the extreme. Atlanta, everything is, they're so materialistic down there now. Like, I know people that are going broke, leasing cars they can't afford, renting houses that it's ridiculous.
Yeah, just for the front.
Just had a friend that just had some surgery done to her body. Mm. Like, I'm just like, now they go broke trying to impress.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a whole lot of faking and fronting, you mm-hmm. know, and yeah, it's a whole lot of that. Like, and again, like when I go down there, like, you know, I'm working most of the time, but again, like, it's funny that people be like, oh man, you like mad normal, and I'm like, the fuck does that mean?
You're
dude?
Supposed
like,
to be an industry dude.
I'm supposed to only be going to like SDK, and I'm only supposed to be staying at like, you know, the Mandarin Oriental, mm-hmm. and I'm supposed to be renting a Ferrari for the weekend. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? But like, they expect the fronting. Yeah. So when you don't kind of give them the fronting, they don't even know how to handle it. Like, wait, why are you not being like the other dude we met? Yeah, who's, you know, fronting and flossing and picking up strippers and going. I'm like, I don't know.
So you actually got work to do. Tasha, okay, so we already said Atlanta's full, so everybody's going to Charlotte. Do you feel like Charlotte is becoming too crowded? Like, we already took on, we already ruined CIAA.
I feel like we're on the way there, and you know, we have All-Star coming up.
Oh, yes, all right. All-Star's this year for y'all, right?
And they're like throwing up all these hotels and these rooftop bars. I'm like,
we already
really, Charlotte?
Destroyed CIAA. Like,
yeah. So,
have you been to Peter's spot?
All the time.
How is it?
I feel like if someone comes into town and it's nowhere, like if nothing major going on, that's what they'll be. Yeah, there's going to always be a good little vibe. It's always going to be good music.
Food's good?
Food. I like the food. Okay. Salmon Bites, I recommend. Okay. All right. And he's there all the time, so he's friendly. He likes to take pictures more than people like to take pictures up. I mean, this, like, when the Deltas had something, he grabbed my phone, like, take a picture of us. Like,
this is Peter's second life.
So in Charlotte, he is the big fish in a small pond.
That's why he went there.
Like, yeah, that was very smart. It was a very smart business move for him.
I'm gonna leave Atlanta because I can't be the big fish in Atlanta.
Right.
Like, even with the TV show, he wasn't the big fish. But in Charlotte, he's the Don. And then by the time Charlotte shifts, he's been there.
Yeah.
He's ahead of the curve, so everybody got to come through him now.
It was a very smart move for him.
Well, I wish you well with your dating.
Thank you.
In Charlotte. I said, maybe come a little further south. Maybe do D.C., Maryland. Philly niggas. Yeah, D.C., Maryland.
Wow. Philly's that's you never know what might,
Chicago. Yeah, niggas too. Yeah, do, I try the DMV. Or go on over further and some of them Houston boys.
Texas?
Houston is bumping now.
Houston's bumping.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Houston, maybe Dallas.
You should go visit Rel at some point and just check D.C. out.
In D.C.?
Houston, I like Houston a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. It's just far.
Yeah.
As hell.
It's a 4-hour flight from here.
Might as well go to L.A.
Yes, exactly. But I really like Houston a lot, though, as a city. I really enjoy myself every time I go down there. But we wish you well in your dating.
Thank you.
Please check in with us and let us know how it goes.
Hopefully
we'll be getting a wedding invitation soon. For some guy that can handle you and tell you to sit down and shut up.
Right.
And thank you for sitting in.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
That's
it. We're going to wrap up. Bro, we'll see you next week. Magic and Medicine.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast. Talk to you next week.